I invite you to turn with me to Genesis 22. Look at the first 14 verses together. Genesis 22. It's been a delight to be here with you today. Thank you for your warm reception, and I've enjoyed getting to know you and look forward to more afterwards. Well, as you're turning there, the life of Abraham is captured in a few pages and really takes but a few minutes to read through his life. And this being the case, it can be easy to forget the 25 years of waiting for the promised son. And as we come to our text this evening, the promised son has come, but God puts Abraham to the test, asking him to offer his only son, Isaac. So though a familiar text to us, hear now God's holy and inspired word. Genesis 22, starting in verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray. Lord, we come again to your word this evening, trusting that it is true, reliable, and a good word. Lord, ask that by your Spirit you would minister to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our text begins this evening with the phrase, "after these things." And it certainly draws our attention back to chapter 21, where the birth of this promised son, Isaac, finally occurs. And it describes his growth. But also in that chapter is the dismissal of Hagar and Ishmael. And Abraham is also given this reiteration as he's sending off Ishmael that it is through Isaac that the covenant promises will be realized. But this phrase also brings to mind really all that has come before. For here's one more thing in the life of Abraham. For his life really has been marked by a series of a testing of his faith. could think back to the conflict that he and Lot had over the land and where their workers were going to be. Or when Abraham actually went out to war to rescue Lot and to bring him back. These, and certainly the years of waiting for this promised son, where his faith was tested for decades. So really, his life is marked by a testing of faith, and he's faced many challenges where he has had to look to the Lord, to trust the Lord, where his faith was tested. So I ask you tonight, as you consider your life, as you look back over your own life, how has your faith been tested? How has your faith been tested, and where have you seen the Lord's hand in your life and seen his faithfulness? I'm sure if allowed for everybody to share, you could testify to the Lord's faithfulness again and again. And maybe even tonight you find yourself, your present circumstances, your faith is being tested. So our focus this evening is, when your faith is tested, lift your eyes to the God who provides. When your faith is tested, lift your eyes to the God who provides. And I want to consider this theme briefly under three headings. Lift your eyes to the God who provides evident resources, to the God who provides opportunities for obedience, and to the God who provides the ultimate provision. So first, lift your eyes to the God who provides evident resources. I want to make a quick note here. I promise this is not a Hebrew lecture. But I want to make note of a theme, and I think a word in the Hebrew that helps this theme develop. As I mentioned, this lifting our eyes to behold the Lord's provision. And in the Hebrew, we have this word, ra'ah. And you might have a footnote in your Bible for verse 14, where it says, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. It says that it could also say, it or he will be seen. So this word ra'ah can mean both seeing and providing. And just kind of using that for our theme this evening. So first, the Lord's provision. It's evident, it's on full display in this chapter. Verse 1, the Lord provides a test of faith. He provides this call of obedience. In verses 2, 3, and 9, the Lord provides the location or the setting for where this testing of faith will occur and provides further instruction. In verse 8, the Lord provides assurance. When Isaac asks that big question of his father, where is the ram for the sacrifice? He says, the Lord will provide. In verse 11, the Lord provides a timely intervention. At the climax of Abraham's obedience, the Lord intervenes. In verse 13, the Lord provides a ram for Abraham. And though we didn't read these verses, in verses 15 through 18, the Lord provides yet another reiteration of the covenant promises. And then even down in verse 23, there's a reference of Rebekah. So we see the Lord providing a wife for Isaac. So that's our theme of the Lord providing. There's also this dominant theme of seeing, where there's a lot of language in this section of looked, behold, saw, lifted up his eyes, or the Lord will see. Particularly two times in this text, in verse 4 and verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the Lord's provision. In verse 4, he lifted his eyes and saw the land from afar that the Lord was calling him to go to offer Isaac. And in verse 13, he lifted up his eyes and saw the provision of this substitutionary sacrifice, this ram in the place of Isaac. And where it's recorded that Abraham is lifting up his eyes, we see him doing the very action that God had previously commanded him to do in other circumstances. You think back to Genesis 13, again, this dispute over the land. The Lord spoke to Abraham and told him to lift his eyes to see the land, to look to the north, the south, the east, the west, to behold the land that the Lord was providing for him. Genesis 15, that the Lord instructs Abraham to look to the heavens and number the stars if he can. So we see him doing the very action that God had commanded him to do in other instances. Well, in grade school, I don't know if it was everybody's favorite day, it was my favorite day, when the school nurse would come around and you thought, all right, at least I'm going to get called out there for 5 minutes and it's a break from class. But she came one day and I and a couple other students were asked to go to the hall and it was time for our eye tests. And I was with a friend the day she learned that she needed glasses. And this was not a great surprise to her. What was most startling to her is though, you know, from 15 to 20 feet away, she was asked to read that top letter. And she could not perceive the big E at the top, though it was glaring at her. And this can be the case for you and I when our faith is tested. The Lord's provision can be evident, but we're overwhelmed by the circumstances. We're overcome, and we don't have the ability to see it, though it's right in front of us. And that's why we need each other, right? That's why we need our brothers and sisters when our faith is tested. So first point, lift your eyes to the God who provides evident resources. Also, lift your eyes to the God who provides opportunities for obedience. This test of faith for Abraham is calling him to obedience, and obedience in a difficult way. And really, there's a similarity here to the call of chapter 12, where it involves a severing of family ties and going to a place the Lord would reveal to him. And mentioned a difficult obedience. What a difficult command. What hard words to hear. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. What heart-gripping words. And this on the heels of what we mentioned in chapter 21. He's dismissed his other son. The Lord has promised that it is through Isaac that the promises would be realized. And yet he's called to offer this very son. But notice how Abraham responds to this test, to this call to obedience. He responds with a willingness to listen and a readiness to obey. Three times in this text, in verse 1, 7, and 11, Abraham is addressed. Verse 1, he's addressed by God. Verse 7, by his son. Verse 11, by the angel of the Lord. And each time he responds with, "Here am I," demonstrating a posture of obedience, humility, service. And this phrase could also be translated or understood as, "Behold me, see me, look at me. I will see to what you're going to call me to or present me to." And of course, we see that he did obey. He was not just willing to listen, but he was ready to obey. And he took the natural steps as he and his son went on their way and went to the place God had told him. But notice in verse 3, again, his readiness, his willingness is described this way, that he rose early in the morning. He's not slack in getting to this. He's not putting this off. This is something he has met with a willingness, a humility, and service. And if you look back to chapter 21, verse 14, he responded the same way when he was called to offer up his other son, to send off his other son. And we find Abraham in the habit of facing difficult tasks resolutely. He's not overcome by the difficulty of the task, the difficulty of the call, or by the test of this faith, but demonstrates a readiness and a willingness to obey. Well, how is it that Abraham could respond with obedience to such a difficult call? In verse 5, we read of Abraham saying to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And all of these verbs are in the first person plural. So it's not as though Abraham is saying, "I and the boy are going to go and we will worship and just I will come to you." But he's saying, "I and the boy are going to go worship and both come again." So we see, even in what he's communicating to these young men, that he believes the Lord is going to act in some way. And of course, our text we read from Hebrews 11 brings light to that. And I'll read again for us verse 19. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. But where is Abraham drawing this from? There's no prior history or recording in Scripture of a resurrection from the dead. No prior historical account testifying to God doing that. But he's simply taking God at his word, trusting in God's promises, that he is faithful to his word. So really, what he's holding to be true about God is his power and his reliability. His power and his reliability. So when faced with this difficult call to obedience, when his faith is being tested, his eyes are not on the problem, but on the promise. As a young boy, this isn't another mud pie story, I'm sorry kids, but which I should have mentioned this afternoon, that it's not to be repeated. Don't do it to your sibling. But when I was some of your age, I remember my dad got... He always wore glasses, but he got the transitional lens glasses, you know, the ones that can be sunglasses and work, you know, they transition seamlessly, supposedly. Well, I grew up in Maine, the land of two seasons, winter and mosquito. And being cold most of the time, those transitional lenses did not work so well. So if my dad was outside for any point in time, he would then step into a building and they would stay sunglasses. And so his vision was, you know, was blurred or it was dimmed or it was diminished in some way. And when we face a difficult test of faith or this call to obedience, our vision can be like those transitional lenses that have been out in the cold just a little too long. Right? We can be slow to perceive how the Lord is working. We can be slow to recognize that He is faithful, that He is trustworthy, that He's proven Himself reliable and true again and again. Well, I asked you the question at the beginning of how has your faith been tested? Well, how has God proven Himself reliable and trustworthy in your lives, in your personal set of circumstances? And I ask you this evening, where are your eyes? Are they on the problem, the difficulty of what's before you? Or are they on the promise maker and the promise keeper? When your faith is tested, lift your eyes to the God who provides opportunities for obedience. And finally, consider with me, lift your eyes to the God who provides the ultimate provision. Now notice, at Abraham's, the height of his greatest need, he's met with this timely provision from the Lord. He's so bent on a readiness, a willingness to obey the Lord, that only a voice from heaven can stop him from going through with it. And the angel of the Lord called to him, "Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. I know that you fear God." He met him in his time of greatest need and gave the ultimate provision. We see that he had a ram that he provided in his place. So notice back in verse 8, Abraham stated to his son, before any of this takes place, he says, "The Lord will provide." And then even after the Lord provides, in verse 14, he names the place, "The Lord will provide." And it goes further to say, "As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." So this narrative as a whole, through this offering of Isaac, through the substitutionary sacrifice, the naming of this place, are creating and casting expectation for us. They're meant to encourage expectation. For we see in Isaac a type of Christ. Christ, the only Son. God the Son, whom is loved by the Father. But we see a discontinuity, though there are many parallels here, I want to focus just on the discontinuity of that, where Isaac was spared. Romans 8:32 says to us, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all." So we see Isaac as a type of Christ, and we have God meeting the need then and even for us in this ultimate provision of God the Son, whom he did not spare, but gave him up freely for us all. So we see this expectation there. We know that this is fulfilled in Christ, that he is the ultimate provision. He is the ultimate sacrifice. And that then brings hope to you and I for any testing of faith, for any call to obedience that we receive from the hand of the Lord. I love what the Heidelberg Catechism says about our only hope in life and death, that we belong body and soul to our Lord. So I've only begun to get to know some of you. I don't know your set of personal circumstances. I don't know where your faith is currently being tested or where the Lord has given you calls of obedience. But because he has met our greatest need and the ultimate provision of his Son, we have hope to walk this life and to walk in obedience. So brothers and sisters, lift your eyes to the God who provides. Let's pray. Lord, we give you praise that you are trustworthy and faithful and good. And Lord, though we feel the weight at times of difficult providences from your hand, Lord, would we know them to be good as we rest in your promises and your faithfulness. Would you strengthen the faith of your people here, Lord, and would you be our help and our aid? Lord, in the midst of a testing of our faith, would we lift our eyes to you? In Jesus' name, amen.